Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Nikki Seberini here, and just wanting to wish you a Shana Tova. It's been a big week that we've had New Year and then the anniversary of October the 7th and everything that goes with it, and moving into starting the fast tomorrow evening. So lots of introspection, lots of reflection, lots of looking at things, thinking about what serves us, what doesn't serve us, and hopefully being able to be insightful, conscious, aware enough to make those changes. It's a time for connection. It's a time for giving to others, to self. So it really is. And I mean, what a beautiful, if you live in Joburg, the first few little storms of summer, bringing in the freshness, the cleansing, just, it's all just an incredibly powerful time. So I hope that you're feeling that, and I do hope that all is going well in your world. Of course, October is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are waiting for our first guest to join us, but I am going to still fill you in on what we're going to be discussing. And if she doesn't, I am going to share some information, because it really, really is a very important topic. Today we were going to have Professor Carol Ann Benn. We've had her. She is amazing. We've had her on the show many times. How many of our warriors have been treated by Professor Benn, and just this extraordinary human being with all this knowledge, the biggest heart, and just continually to give and putting things into perspective. So this is taken from an article from Buddies for Life from the July the 31st edition. And it's all about the breast cancer jungle when it comes to pregnancy. And, you know, one would think that during pregnancy, one is at one's peak health. We often hear of this, that early, if you get pregnant when you're younger, it's almost a certain way to avoid breast cancer. And we see things playing out very, very differently. We have had a number of breast cancer warriors on this show who have been pregnant during their pregnancy. And so we really wanted to unpack this subject because, as I said, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I'm going to just take excerpts from this article, because I think there's important information, hoping that Professor Benn will join us. But if she doesn't, I would still like to share some of this information with you. As she says, you know, for many women, the excitement of finding out that they're pregnant is just amazing. But she likes to like it to a cruise down the Amazon River. So it's a once in a lifetime experience, certainly your first time, and every time is different. And she says there are lots of exotic experiences, you know, like scans and cravings and gender reveal parties and baby showers, choosing names, and. But she does want to warn or insist or suggest that during all antenatal checkups, that you should insist on a breast examination. And I don't know if that has been your experience. Certainly when I was pregnant, it wasn't. But now more and more, they're talking about have a breast examination. And why? Because breast cancer in pregnancy is the most common malignancy diagnosed in pregnancy. It's actually called PABC. Interesting, pregnancy associated breast cancer. And it's also can be diagnosed up to 2 years post-delivery, whilst breastfeeding, that can happen as well. So it's worth noting that it's not breast cancer. It isn't caused by the pregnancy, but rather that it occurs at a slightly higher incidence in pregnant women. And it happens usually between the ages of 32 and 38. So What's worth also noting is, I mean, obviously, as you're pregnant and you have this growing bump, your breasts also become fuller and they become more sensitive and they become more tender because you've got all these hormones. You've got estrogen and progesterone and prolactin and. Professor Ben talks about it, you know, your breasts become a fertilized rainforest, because she's likening this to a journey down the Amazon River. So she says, you know, there's increased blood flow, engorged vessels, much like the Amazon River tributaries. So she talks about all the changes that take place. And that one has to really be very cognizant of what is happening. One can't think, because you're having all of these changes to your breasts, that you shouldn't notice if there are lumps or if there are things that are happening that shouldn't be happening. So, you know, she says this lobular alveolar growth will produce milk later on, and it means that there are going to be these lumps and these bumps. And perhaps if you're pregnant now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's finding out and trying to work out the difference between a concerning mass and a pregnancy-induced change, which is why she recommends every time you go to your doctor, every time you have an antenatal checkup, that your breasts are checked. Then what I found quite interesting is, if you are in the process of, you've decided you want to fall pregnant, you're planning it, you're trying, or even if you're going for fertility treatment, Professor Ben talks about going for pre-pregnancy checkups. So she says, you know, if you're wanting to fall pregnant, maybe you're taking a whole lot of vitamins and you're preparing your body and you're preparing yourself to fall pregnant, she recommends going to a reputable radiologist for a breast ultrasound. And that your gynae and your antenatal team should really play a major role, especially if you're older and you are considering falling pregnant. So these are all, and I think, you know, really relevant, and I wish I could say, if you've got any questions, let me know, but I don't have the professor with me. I'm really just, I'm going to the article that she wrote in the Buddies for Life. And I think that it is relevant, and I think that it is important, because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we have had people who have been on the show who have had breast cancer whilst pregnant. Okay, so there it is. Go, every time you go for a checkup, have your breasts checked. If you are planning to fall pregnant, go to a reputable radiologist for a breast ultrasound before. If you are going for fertility treatment to assist with conception, she talks about a preconception mammogram and ultrasound. She highly advises that, as well as serial sonars during all the stimulating hormones. That she suggests, so that's prior to falling pregnant. Right, so now we get to the stage if you are pregnant. And she talks about, as we said, the breasts do change, but she also says that the breast tissue actually is quite fertile. She's talking about fertile because she talks about the going down the Amazon, because it's more difficult for the ultrasound to look for anything happening in the breast. So that's why she says, if you are concerned, if you're worried, insist on repeated ultrasounds. She says that sadly, the diagnosis of breast cancer in a pregnancy is often delayed because it's not recognized as a mass by the mom-to-be. So you could be pregnant, your breasts have changed, so you're not really noticing that there's a mass there. Or worse, it's not assessed as a potential threat by the doctor. So again, she's saying, you know, there is a lot to think about when you're pregnant, but don't ignore your breasts. There are changes that are going to happen to your breasts, but don't ignore your breasts. So you know that mastitis, or maybe you don't know that mastitis is an issue. It can be an infection, engorged breasts when you're going to be breastfeeding. It's red hot breasts, she calls it. And she says this can be an inflammatory breast cancer. And again, a good trick is to ultrasound the armpit and look for glands or lymph nodes. And also she said that the weight of the breast can cause red breast syndrome. And this presents with a red-looking, painful breast. And it gets less red when you lie down and redder when you stand. So she talks about, you know, the importance of wearing a correct bra during the day and at night. We're going to take a break. I hope that I'm explaining it correctly because I think that her article is really, really very good. We're going to take a quick break, a quick song. And after that, I'm going to continue with it. As I said, very important when pregnant to check your breast. We'll look at some facts and myths and misinformation after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, if you have just joined us, welcome. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I do apologize. Our first guest, Professor Carol Ann Benn, who is just a phenomenal human being and doctor, carer, healer, was supposed to join us, but something happened. She wasn't able to join us. She is the head of the internationally accredited multidisciplinary breast cancer center at Netcare Mill Park Hospital, and she lectures at Wits University. And in 2002, she established the Breast Health Foundation. So she wrote an incredible article in Buddies for Life in July, and it's all about pregnancy and breast cancer during pregnancy. And I've just been outlining how prevalent it can be, how it's most common between the ages of 32 and 38 year olds, how if you're going to be falling pregnant and you're planning a pregnancy, you should go for a mammogram before. If you are taking, if you are on a treatment for fertilization, fertility treatment, you should also go for scans, that even though your breast changes, you should, every time you go to the doctor, you should have your breasts checked. And really, really important. So for many years, there was a misconception that PABC, which is the pregnancy-associated breast cancer, had a worse prognosis than other breast cancers. And the only reason that was so is because of delays in diagnosis. So the mom-to-be and the doctor missed the signs, right? And this then resulted in advanced stages by the time the breast cancer was diagnosed, which is why those checkups, you need to be checking. Even though your breasts are changing, you need to be checking. Your doctor needs to be checking. And that most pregnancies occur before the age of 35. So therefore, they fall under the age for recommended mammograms. But mammograms can be performed in younger women as well as in pregnant women. And they say that there is a little risk to the baby. Now, the main problem with mammograms in young women is the increased density of breast tissue. And it results in decreased accuracy. In other words, it's harder to see if there are any lumps. But breast ultrasounds are very safe and they're very accurate, and they provide rapid and safe ways to see if a mass is cystic or it is solid, because not all masses felt or seen in pregnant breasts are cancers. So, you know, it's murky water and it's not easy, but it's the awareness. And you don't want to be stressed out and you don't want to be neurotic about it. It's simply an awareness. And if you have just tuned and you think, has Nikki become an expert in breasts and pregnancy and breast cancer? I have not. These are not my words. These are not my suggestions in any way or form. These are taken from, everything that I'm sharing with you is taken from an article written by Professor Carol Ann Benn, who is the head of the internationally accredited multidisciplinary breast cancer center at Netcare Mill Park Hospital. So we were just looking at, you know, the safe diagnostic tests, that the goal in pregnant women with breast concern is to make the diagnosis accurately with the least invasive technique possible. And a core biopsy is highly accurate with minimal risk. Now, there are some facts and myths and information which I'm going to leave you with. And I think I started off and I said that you know, having a first pregnancy is supposed to confer protection against breast cancer. But actually what they have found is that it only if you've actually had your pregnancy under the age of 18. And this isn't encouraging young teens to fall pregnant, but certainly it was more prevalent many years ago. But now more and more older women are falling pregnant. So most women with breast cancer, 65%, have no significant risk factors. So having a first pregnancy over 35 is supposed to increase the risk. But a recent study shows for 10 years post-pregnancy, women are at an increased risk of breast cancer. So that's something interesting, and that certainly is something I didn't know. For a long time, women with BRCA1 and 2 mutations were encouraged to have their pregnancies at a young age because it was thought to be protective. Now, this isn't comprehensive data. And it was also thought that the incidence of pregnancy-associated breast cancer is higher in BRCA1 mutations than BRCA2. Though an allelic deletion at the BRCA1 locus is seen in 88%, it suggests a BRCA2 involvement as well. But that gets, you know, very, very technical. And as I said, I'm not the technical person. I'm not the doctor. I'm simply giving you this information, which you, I'm certainly finding useful, and you may too if you are thinking of falling pregnant, if you are pregnant, if you know someone who is pregnant. Really, really important, this kind of awareness around Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, there was an interesting study done in the 16th century. I don't know what kind of study it was, but certainly it showed that that breastfeeding babies, that there was less chance of getting breast cancer if you breastfed your baby. But there are no recent suggestions to study this to suggest this as well. So perhaps it is just a myth. And lastly, that if diagnosed with breast cancer during pregnancy, ensure that you're seen at a specialist unit. So there are these robust multidisciplinary approaches where you've got a whole lot of doctors who come together with their expertise and they take you through the process. So it's choosing the right people, it's choosing the right team, that as stressful as it is, if you are diagnosed with breast cancer during pregnancy, there are a whole lot of treatments, diagnostics, you know, these multidisciplinary teams who can walk you through and take you through the process. I know that we are going to hopefully be joined by another guest in a while. I'm not sure if she has joined, not yet, but her name is Professor Eleanor McIntosh, and she's actually a clinical sexologist, and she is a breast cancer warrior. She's had breast cancer twice. So we will wait for her to join us, but we're going to take a quick break. And after that break, let's talk about important treatment facts when it comes to treating breast cancer while pregnant. So please stay with us.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
101.9 High FM, and of course the DL Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information and illumination. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. I'm Nikki Seberini, and I have been a breast cancer expert today. Unfortunately, our first guest hasn't joined us, and we've had a problem. It could be a technical issue we're experiencing. I do apologize, but I do have this amazing article, which I think is very important, and I've been sharing that information with you. For those of you who've just joined us and you're wondering what the DL Link Show is, or rather what the DL Link is, it's an organization that was founded all the way back in 2010 by Michelle Goodman and Jackie Artsula. Michelle Goodman's daughter, the late Devorah Leah, passed from cancer. It was her dream and her idea to have this link, this connection for those who are going through the cancer journey and for the family members going through the cancer journey, just a support, a family that where you are held and you are understood, you can speak your mind, you can share your emotions, your anger, your disappointment, and these people who have been there hold that space for you in a beautiful, beautiful way. And so that's what the DL Link does, servicing families in the community, being there, ensuring that they're not alone. When they're too tired after treatment to cook, the DL Link drops off food. When they feel like they need to go for some reflexology or a massage, there they can go. If they need a wig, if they need some information to go on holiday, that's what the DL Link does. And so that's what this show is all about. So we bring you cancer warriors, we bring you family, we bring you experts, doctors in all the fields of treatment and stories around cancer and beyond, you know, overcoming difficulties in life. So October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. As I said, Professor Carol Ann Benn, who's head of the internationally accredited multidisciplinary breast cancer center at the Netcare Mill Park Hospital, was supposed to join us. Unfortunately, she was not. We could have had a technical issue, I'm not sure, but she did write a very interesting article about pregnancy, cancer during pregnancy, and I have been sharing that information with you. We were looking at facts, myths, and misinformation.
So I'm on.
I believe, there, Professor Benn is there. Hello.
Sorry, I was busy with the lecture series and I only got the message yesterday. So I'm always hugely supportive of you guys and happy to help in any way. So I'm apologizing hugely, and if you, anyone has any questions, but I can run through a couple of myths and facts.
You're a darling. You listen, your article was so well read that I sort of became the breast cancer expert.
Excellent.
And I've been sharing some of the information because it's so important. I wanted to tell you, Prof, that we've had really a number of cancer warriors who've come onto the show who have had breast cancer during pregnancy. And so I've gone through a lot of, you know, how the breasts change, how important it is. Yeah. To have the breasts checked if you are thinking of falling pregnant, going for a mammogram before, having the checks during, and also looking at the facts and myths and misinformation. What we hadn't got to yet was treatment during pregnancy. And I'm actually so glad that this is where you came in because, you know, when I think of chemotherapy, when I think of radiotherapy, and you'll explain whether that kind of treatment is used during pregnancy, what would the danger be to this growing fetus?
So that's such a wonderful question. And again, I'm so pleased at least I can join for a bit. So absolutely, you need to take cognizance of the fact that you've got two patients. Well, not even patients, two people. You've got a baby and a mom. And remember, breast cancer doesn't just affect the mom and the baby if it's in during a pregnancy, but also the entire family, other little siblings and dad, etc. So I think the most important thing is safety first. So what we want is to work with specialists, obstetricians and gynecologists that can assess where you are in your pregnancy. And you've gone over all what you look for, and you pick up a diagnosis of a breast cancer in a pregnancy with a needle biopsy. And if it's diagnosed in the first trimester, generally I say to people, wait till the second trimester before you start any treatment, right? And the reason for that is during the first trimester, often different aspects of treatment have an all or nothing effect. So they can cause, and remember, about a third of early breast cancers do miscarry anyway. So waiting, you usually find out you are pregnant if it's a planned pregnancy around about 5-6 weeks. So waiting 5-6 weeks is not going to jeopardize either the cancer, okay, from an outcome point of view at all. So we divide breast cancer into four different personality types, luminal A, luminal B, HER2 enriched, and triple negs. And in the second trimester, once we've done proper baby assessments, the 12-week scans, etc., generally, okay, we can give oncology treatment during pregnancy and it's safe for the baby, okay? We can't give radiation treatment. We can do surgery. So we treat the cancers same. We prefer to do less is more, small little breast-saving operations if the cancers are early stage and lazy. And that's because the blood supply, when you have a a breast during a pregnancy has far more vascular from a little arteries and veins, lots of veins. You'll remember how engorged your breast tissue was. So we do small operations, take things out, move a little bit of tissue around. We check the sentinel using a magnetic tracer. In terms of scans during pregnancy, we generally protect the fetus, and most scans you can do, but they're done, again, through a specialist radiology unit. You need to be discussed in a multidisciplinary environment with the obstetrician working in conjunction with the surgical and the oncology team. And in most scenarios, we manage very successfully to have whatever oncology treatment is needed during the pregnancy. The data shows that the babies sometimes are slightly smaller, but they've done many, many studies of these children up until in their 20s to find that there's no deleterious effect to kids at all. Okay, but it is a super specialized field, and you must be treated in a super specialized unit. And I'm sitting here heading at the moment because I have a free access clinic. It doesn't mean to say that it's only for people who have access to funding. So we have the scenario that we can offer to people who are not on good medical insurance as well, should be getting identical treatment. So,
amazing.
Yeah, so that is, so no radiation during the pregnancy. We can give oncology treatment, and we definitely can do surgery, but only from the second trimester.
And Professor Ben, now you've done whatever and whatever treatment was necessary, but baby, please God, is born healthy baby, and now it's time to breastfeed.
Yes.
So naturally, you're going to have these engorged breasts. Naturally, this is going to happen. What happens then?
So technically, let's say they picked up a sleeping cancer on the one side and we operated it, and you either would or would not need radiation after the pregnancy. If you don't require any oncology treatment, you could breastfeed from the normal healthy breast. But oftentimes, people are still busy with their treatment. They need hormone blockers or something else. And then we would advise that they don't breastfeed from the other breast, because if you're on certain other medications, then it won't be safe for the baby. It doesn't mean that when you have the second baby, the next baby, which you can do, and after a safe wait and watch period, that on the non-breast cancer, because it's often an irradiated breast, so you can't breastfeed, but on the other breast, you can breastfeed.
Amazing. And are you finding, Professor Ben, because we were looking, based on your article, we were looking at the age group, that it's most prevalent. I'm just finding it. I think it was between 32 and 38 is most prevalent.
100%.
So
pregnancy puts you at slightly higher risk for certain cancers, melanoma and breast, for first 3 years afterwards. So remember, we used to say people who didn't have kids were higher risk of having breast cancers. Now we know that people who have their kids late, between 35 and 40, are at slightly higher risk. But I say that, saying to you that 65% of people who get breast cancer have no risk factors. But what we are saying to moms is, if you are having pregnancies in your 30s, which most of us had, okay, or early 40s, make sure, and you mentioned it so well beforehand, that you have your proper screening before you fall pregnant. And there's nothing wrong with, when they sonar for the baby, that you have breast sonars during your pregnancy.
If you could just explain the difference between a sonar and a mammogram.
Okay, a mammogram is uses x-rays. It actually uses less x-rays than sitting on a airplane or in a shopping mall, but it's a two-dimensional x-ray of the breast, and we use two views, a CC, where you compress the breast from top to bottom, and an MLO, where you compress the breast from the side. And sonar is an ultrasound, okay? It's the same thing that they put on your tummy when you have a look to check the baby, okay? And in younger people and in pregnant women, because of the density of the breast tissue, ultrasounds are better at detecting things sometimes than mammograms. And ultrasounds are very good, or sonars, at checking the glands and the lymph nodes.
So would you recommend if you said, I mean, you know, have make sure that your breasts are checked every time you go and have a checkup, would you suggest
Absolutely.
the sonar as well? Would that be a recommendation or just if you
So,
feel that there's a lump?
during a pregnancy, right? If you have a pregnancy at your 3 months mark, it's maybe good to have a breast ultrasound, particularly if you haven't had one before. And then you just check your breast, and if you feel something or something's concerning, that's when you will go in. So concerning things that may not be concerning in pregnant women are when you see a blood stain discharge from your nipple, and that can be what we call a ductitis, which is inflammation in the ducts with the heat that goes into the nipple and often is nothing to worry about. But if you see continual leaking or leaking of blood from the nipple, you need to tell your doctors. If you see change of the nipple, Paget's, you need to tell your doctors. Eczema on the areola is not related to breast cancer and is also commonly seen during pregnancy. Okay, and if you feel a lump or you're not sure if it's a lump, then definitely ask for an ultrasound. And if you feel glands under your armpit, and remember, examine with your arms down, also ask for an ultrasound. Remember, you can see accessory breast tissue during a pregnancy. That's extra breast tissue, and that is not of concern.
Thank you for clarifying that. Just one more question, Professor. You know, you talk about this multidisciplinary team, this wonderful support. We've spoken about all the do's and the don'ts. A woman is pregnant, she's diagnosed with breast cancer. From a psychological and emotional point of view, this is stressful. You know, you don't want these stress hormones to be going to the fetus. How is a mother to be supported emotionally through that process?
So in our unit, we have prehab and rehab specialists, and we have an oncology life coach. So because it is completely overwhelming. So today is Mental Health Day, right? Okay. So we are not just a body part, we're not just a breast, okay? We're a person who's going through daily different stressors, and having people to talk to and listen to you in a respectful manner is very, very important, particularly for people going through a cancer diagnosis. Not just the person, but sometimes the partner as well. And we must take cognizance of that. From a medicine point of view, it's about holistic, personalized, de-escalated medicine, looking after people in a committed, caring way. That's very important.
Thank you so much, Professor Ben. Really, really appreciate your time. We know how busy you are, but it's always so invaluable. And we really, really, as I said, we do appreciate it. So thank you and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Take care now. Okay. Bye.
Bye
Bye.
bye, Professor Carol and Ben. I mean, just all the information, everything that you need, and knowing that, you know, this multidisciplinary breast cancer center at the Nick Kemble Park Hospital that she has put together is there, and it's not just for people who can afford this expensive medical aid. One would approach Prof. Ben to see if they can help you if you don't have that. Listen, I found it interesting. I had to do a whole lot of learning to share it with you, but I found it absolutely fascinating, so enlightening, so much information and so helpful. Before we do say goodbye, I just want to remind you that there's the Team Deal link for the Virgin Active 947 ride. It's happening on the 17th of November, and that you can join Team Deal link. The event is going to be sponsored by Liberty. They always come to the party amazingly, as you get to take to the streets of Joburg, and it's going to be phenomenal. So show your support. You can wear a Cancer Warrior's name in the back of your shirt, and you get to offer them hope and strength on their personal journey. So you can choose to ride the full 97 kilometers or the 35 kilometer route, and then you get to celebrate with the DL Link at their hospitality tent. So to enter, go to the official 947 Ride Joburg website, and then you can just put the code DL Link 663. That's code DL Link 663. But you can also be in touch with the DL Link if you want to find out more information. I'm not sure if we've got any voice notes, but I'm going to bid you farewell. I'm going to wish you a meaningful fast, a refinement, a time to reassess, to grow, to be a better person in all ways. For me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, you take care and goodbye.